The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We now begin to learn about the Tzivuim, the commandments of the building of the Mishkan. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yichuli truma meis kol ish ashe yidven al libay tikches trumasi. Then Moshe told the children of Israel, take from me his offerings from everyone whose heart uplifts him. Take these offerings. And the Torah lists them. And vosuli migdosh v'shochanti b'seichom, that you shall make for me a mikdosh, a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst you. And this is either taking place on Har Sinai, when Moshe is on the mountain receiving the Torah, or it's taking place, the actual time he gave it over to Klal Yisrael was when he came down from the mountain, but not after the first 40 days, because then he had to deal with the golden calf, which is mentioned later on, the Egel Azov, and he broke the Luchais. But after he went up a second time, and he came down, and a third time, and he finally came down with the second Luchais, and the Kapora, the forgiveness, and this was, then it took place the day after Yom Kippur. This was the ultimate achlis, the ultimate objective of everything, to receive the Torah and to make a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a dira letachtonim, a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, as he says, vosuli migdosh v'shochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. And the Mishkan was the forerunner to the Beis HaMikdosh. It was a sanctuary which went with Klal Yisrael in the desert, and then later on it was established in a number of places in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, it became the permanent edifice of the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis. Now, the ones who were chosen to more or less rule over the Beis HaMikdosh, it was their responsibility to perform all of the tasks and the responsibilities. These were the Kahanim, Aaron, the Zarei, Aaron and his children. And the Mishnah in Masechet Ovos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, states, Hillel said, Hevi mi talmidov shel Aaron HaKohen, you shall make yourself from the Talmidim of Aaron. Ohev shalom, v'redev shalom. You shall love peace and pursue peace. Ohev es habriyais u'makarven l'Torah. You shall love the people and bring them close to Torah. So we see that the symbol in the world for the one who was going to make shalom, make peace in Klal Yisrael, and be ma'achet, bring the people together, and bring them to Torah and to Hashem, this was Aaron HaKohen. And he would be the symbol for generations, because when Hillel came to teach this, he said, Hevi mi talmidim shel Aaron HaKohen. Look at Aaron and make yourself disciples of him. Ohev shalom v'redev shalom. You shall love peace and pursue it. Redev means pursue it with a vigor, to chase it. Ohev es habriyos, you shall love the people. U'mekarven l'Torah, and you shall bring them close to Torah. We have many movements today which are called kiruv movements. Well, the forerunner was Aaron HaKohen, mekarven l'Torah, go out and bring the people close to Torah. Now, there's a question. How did Hillel know that this was Aaron HaKohen. Where does it say that? Where does it say that Aaron was the great Oev Shalom V'Reidev Shalom? And he was the great Makarev, bring people close to Torah, and bring them, bring the people close together. In order that this should be a dugma, this should be a symbol, a role model, lideris for generations. Aaron was the Kohanim. The Kohanim, it was their responsibility to bring the korbanos, the sacrifices, and to rule over the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. They had their jobs there. They were busy. So how did Hillel know that this was Aaron to make him represent this great avoda to Hashem, and that he should serve as the idol for this, the representative for this, for the people for generations? Now it is true that there are some obscure remozim, hints in the Torah to this. For example, the Malachi Beis. Perek Beis Halacha Hei and Vov. It states, Brisi Hoiso Itoi HaChaim V'HaShalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I have made a covenant with him of Chaim V'Shalom. By Meisher Rabbeinu, when he dies, it states in Zeisabrocha, Lamadalet Ches, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael Es Moshe, that the sons of Israel wept for Moshe. When Aaron died, it states, Vayivku Es Aaron Shleishim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael, that the entire household of Yisrael wept for Aaron. And the Chazal Darshan, by Meish it says, B'nei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. And here it states, Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire house. And the Kevas Nami, the women also. But all of this is B'remiza B'lvad. This is a little, you have to really search to find these. And if this was Aaron's essence, so this should be something which is more explicit in the Torah. It's like the Torah tells us what Avram was, and what Yitzchok was, and what Yaakov was. And the Maral explains as follows. What was the essence of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, of the sanctuary? The essence was to firstly to unite Klal Yisrael together, and secondly to bring Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu close together, because the Medrash Rabbah tells us Yisrael is a nation not like other nations, at least they're not supposed to be like other nations. They're not agudes agudes. Other nations, you have groups, groupings, camps, everyone in a different direction. Israel, the Medrash says, Mishkan Echod, one sanctuary. Mizbeach Echod, one altar. Kohen Godel Echod, only one Kohen Godel. And this means that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim as his city, and the Har HaBayis as the place for the Beis HaMikdash, then we were never allowed to bring sacrifices and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way from any other place. Any other place in the world. Not from Sfas, not from Hebron, not from Be'er Sheva, not from Tel Aviv, not from any other land. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechtas Vochim that until the Beis HaMikdash was built, Hutra Bomais, we could build other altars. We could build altars wherever we wanted to and bring sacrifices to Hashem. But once the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash, was established in that place, Nesru HaBomais LeOlam, other altars became forbidden forever, even after the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And we find that even before the final Beis HaMikdash was built, the Mishkan, when it was in the Midbar, in the desert, we could never have our own altars. Only there. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, and it was not in a permanent place, then we were allowed our own altars. When it became a permanent place, when it came into a permanent place, which it did at times, then again was Nesru HaBomais. The private altars were forbidden. The Bomo represented that everyone went and served in his own manner. The Gemara always uses an expression when it wants to say that everybody's doing his own thing. Kol echad ve'echad ose boma la'atzmai. So therefore the Medrash tells us, when it comes to the Goyim, the nations of the world, they would bring sacrifices from many, many different places. They would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many, many different places. But by Klal Yisrael, Mishkan Echad, only one Beis HaMikdash. Mizbeach Echad, we have only one place to bring korbanos. Kohen Gadol Echad, we have only one high priest. And even that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Tfilo and the Bote Kenesiyos, in all of the shuls, this was all considered extensions of the Beis HaMikdash. See, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would extend himself also into those places. But it was all extensions from that one central Beis HaMikdash. So therefore the Medrash says, Israel is different than all of the other nations. They had one central point that united them all into one. You can't have where one group had their own Beis HaMikdash and another group had their own. So what do we see that the Mikdash did? It was the Keach HaMa'achid. It took Klal Yisrael and united them all into one, brought them together. Secondly, we see, what else did it do? It brought them, Laviyam Shebeshavayim. It brought them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what was the avoda? What was what we did in the Beis HaMikdash? The main avoda were the korbanos, the sacrifices. The essence of a sacrifice is firstly the kapora. It was an atonement for sins. Now that brought the person closer to Hashem. Because if there was a chet, a sin, this distanced him from Hashem. So he could come back close to Hashem through the korban, through the sacrifice. Secondly, it was as if a person brings a doral namelech, he brings a gift to Hashem. The sacrifice had to be brought with his own money. So this was a way that he could bring himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Maral writes that the word korban comes from the word korev, to bring close. So the major function of the Beis HaMikdash, there to bring the korbanos, that was to bring the people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the people, because now he had a dir betachtonim, he had a place where he could dwell in, here on this earth. If you look in the Rambam, the Rambam, right at the beginning of Sefer Avodah, his first halacha, he writes as follows: Mitzvah zeh la'aseis bayis la'Hashem. It's a positive commandment to build a house to Hashem. Mukhon lios makrivim by korbanos which should be set aside for bringing sacrifices, and that all of Israel will come to three times a year. As it states, "Osuli Migdosh, you shall make for me a sanctuary." The Rambam writes two reasons, and this is what he writes: these two reasons. You shall make a house set aside for Hashem, which should be set for the bringing of sacrifices. Now that is what brought the people close to Hashem. And the Chogig in Elov, a central point where all of Israel will come to, Gibel Parvim Bashona, three times a year. We're all commanded to come there and to bring our sacrifices under a golem. Because this was bringing the people together. So the whole essence of the Mishkan was to bind the people together and to bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore the Maharal says very simply, if this was the whole essence of the Mikdosh, and the ones in charge of the Mikdosh were Aaron and his children, then it is very obvious that this had to be their quality. The quality of bringing people together, uniting them, and bringing them close to Hashem. And therefore, Hillel said, "Having me Talmidov, shall Aaron, you shall make yourself disciples for him, from him. Ohev Shalom v'Rehiv Shalom," just like he was the one who loved peace and he pursued the peace, he brought the people together. "Ohev Esabriyais u'makarven l'Torah," to love the people and bring them close to Torah. In the Avos Reb Noson, on that Mishnah, Perek Yud Beis, writes and elaborates on this with Hillel. It states, "Ohev Shalom, we shall a person melamed she odem ohev Shalom Israel ben kol echad veechad kederek she aron ohev Shalom ben kol echad veechad." A person must love peace, and he must love his fellow man like Aaron did. What was an example? Aaron mahalech b'derech, when Aaron would be walking on his way, and poga bei ba'odim rosha, and he would meet a rosha, an evil person. Nosan lei shalom, he would give him shalom, shalom aleichem. Lemocha bikesh osi ish lavar aveira. Now this person was very, very impressed that Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, would greet him and give him the greetings of Shalom. The next day, this person wanted to do an Aveira. Omar Oili Heaich Esa Einai. He says, "Ahakach ve Eres Aaron ve Eroes Aaron ve Shossi. Hey man, Shonosan li Shalom." And he started to think, how will I even be able to face Aaron? If I do this Aveira and hear Aaron gave me shalom yesterday, how will I ever be able to face him? My busha, my embarrassment will be terrible. So therefore he went to the Aveira. So we see that this person now refrains himself from doing the Aveira. There were two people that had a quarrel. Aaron would go to one of them, and he would say, "My son," he heard about the quarrel, and he said, "Do you know this other person that you're quarreling with? I heard from him that he is so upset, and he is renting his garments, and he is saying, how can I ever look my friend in the face again after what I did to him?" And he would say, "Is that what he's doing?" And then Aaron would go to the other person, and he would tell the person the same thing about the first one. And he would tell him this. And then, when these two people would meet, they would embrace and kiss each other as the best of friends. Therefore, it states, that everybody wept for Aaron when he died. Then the Midrash tells us further, Aaron, he was the quality of Chesed and Rachamim. Moshe was the quality of Din. Moshe was the judge. And he had to judge a Din La'amitoi. This is what we spoke on Shabbos. So, you can't, being a judge, you can't, not everyone can be your friend. The one that you happen to judge in favor is going to be your friend, and the other one is not going to be your friend. This was Moshe. But Aaron was not a judge. And therefore he went around and befriending everyone and showing love and compassion for everyone. And he would never be mechiach the people, but dvorim koshim. Moshe was the great person of rebuke. He was always vaydaber Moshe, and he would rebuke the people. This was his responsibility. Aaron, whenever it says that Aaron, he never said to an ish yisarachto veleili ish yisarachs. He never said to a person, it's your fault. You're the one who caused all of this. And he never said to a woman, it's your fault, you're the one that caused all of this. And because of this, he was able to mend many machlekes. People came to him, and he was able to mend many, 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 many marriages. So it states, Kama alofim hoi b'Yisrael shenikra shmam Aaron. There were many, many thousands of children whose name were Aaron. Shel male Aaron lebozeh leilam. If not for Aaron, they would have never been born. Shel meisim sholem beinish leishtoi. Because he would mend the quarrels between a man and his wife. U'mizdagim zemzeh, and they would return to each other, and then they would have a child, and they will call this child Aaron. And therefore, it states, Vayivku kol beis Yisrael. The Binyan Yeshua, that's a meforish, a commentator here on the Ovis Derem Nosim, he asked the question. He says, how was Aaron allowed to give shalom to a Rosha? States he would see a Rosha, a wicked person, and he would greet him with shalom aleichem. It's explicit that one is not allowed to give shalom to a Rosha because shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he answers, to greet a Rosha and merely give him shalom, the name of Hashem, this one is not allowed to do. But the purpose that Aaron had in mind was through this, he would be menea, he would stop the Rosha from doing Averus. And he would cause him to do tshuva and bring him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that is the objective, then one is allowed to give shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to a Rosha. So we see from here that not only did he go and he made peace and he loved the people, but he used every possible tact in order to do so. He would go and talk to these two people, and what he said was not emes, was not true. He says, look, your friend, he's so upset that he insulted you and he's renting his garments and he wants to make up. This was not true. Yet he permitted himself to do this. This is a Gemara in Masechta Yevamos that states, not only is it mutar, not only is it permitted, but it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. One must be mashana lemana shalom. One must lie for the sake of peace. We see even HaKadosh Baruch Hu did so. In order not to create any machlekes between Avraham and Sarah. When Sarah said, how can my husband have a child, he's so old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu only repeated to Avraham that Sarah said, how could she have a child that she's so old? And then we see that he would go and he would give shalom to Rishoyim, because he felt that by him giving shalom to the Shoim and him imposing his friendship on them, that is going to stop them from Averus and bring them close to Torah. Even though from the surface it would look like it, this is forbidden. Again, because he was doing this L'shem Shemayim. So we see that Aaron would use all types of strategy in order to come to this objective. Now, so we explained now what Hillel was telling us. Having me Talmid of Aaron, that make yourself disciples of Aaron, because Aaron was this great personality that the responsibility of the Mishkan and the Mikdush was given to, and that was the whole objective of uniting people together called Yisrael and uniting them with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Aaron had this capability, and in that capacity he would go and spend his days bringing people together and bringing them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he would use every possible means. Now Hillel was coming to tell us something else. This was not only the quality of the Kohanim, because he's teaching this to all of the people, and Hillel himself was not a Kohen. He's saying that this is a great mila, a great level that we all can reach. So therefore we should make our symbol Aaron, and we should follow him. Now we can ask a question, why is Hillel telling us this? Why did Hillel choose to tell us this? The answer to that is that Hillel himself had this quality, and he also would utilize every possible mean for this objective of bringing people close to Hashem. He wasn't merely being Deirish Veinamakayim, giving droshos and not fulfilling them. Where do we find this? We find this in a number of places, but one place is in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Bama Madlikin, Daf Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph. The Gemara brings Tana Rabbanan La'elam. It actually starts on Lamed, say end of Omer Beis. La'elam Ye'odam In Vason Kihilo. A person should always be humble and forgiving, like Hilo. Bal Ye Kapton Kishamai. And he shouldn't be a person who's very rigid and unforgiving, like Shammai. Hillel and Shammai were the two great Gedali Hador. They were the leaders of the generation. There was a case of two people, and that they had made a bet with each other, a wager. Omru, kol mi si yelich diyaknit es Hillel yitul dalin meyazuz. Whoever could go and make Hillel angry, then the other one would give him 400 Jews. Omar Echad Mehem, so one said, Ani Aknitenu, I will make him angry. Osayim Erev Shabbos, it was Erev Shabbos. Behillel Chofav his Reishe, and Hillel was shampooing his hair. Holach V'Omer Al Pesach Beisoy. So he went, this person, and he passed by the doorway. He stayed by the doorway of Hillel's house. Omar, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? Now, Hillel was the Nossi. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. And this is not the way you address someone like that. So he addressed him in an insulting manner. Hillel heard, Nisatev. So he put on his robe, Yotzali Krosai, and he went down to meet him. Omar Le Bini. My son, Mata Mevakesh, what do you want? Omale Sha'eli Yeshli Lisho, I have a question to ask. Omale Sha'al Bini Sha'al. So he said, ask. Mibnei Ma Roshe Henshel Bavloim Sagul Goles. Why are the heads of the Babylonians? Rashi brings two interpretations in Sagul Goles. Either they are round or they're not round. But they were not, either interpretation, they were not the proper shape. Amalei b'ni she'ela gdola she'altam b'nei she'en l'mchayis b'kochis. He says it's a very good question, and the answer is because they did not have skilled midwives. So therefore, in childbirth, their heads would come out a little upside. So he went and he waited a while. And he went back again. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel around? Again, Hillel put on something and he went to meet him. Omale b'ni mata mavakish. My son, what do you want? Omale sheli yeshli lishu. I have a question to ask. Omale sha'al b'ni sha'al. Ask my son, ask. B'ne ma einehen shel tamaduyin trutais. The Talmuduim were a certain nation, and they lived in the desert, where there was a lot of wind and sand, and their eyes were not the same shape as a normal eye. So why is it like that? He says it's a very good question, and the answer is because they live amongst the sand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their eyes in such a way where their eyelids will give protection from the sand more than a normal eye. So he went and he waited an hour, and he came back and he said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, is Hillel here? Nisate v'yotzeh l'krosei. So he went again. He put on something. He went to meet him. My son, what do you want? I have a question to ask. So he said, "Go ahead, ask." He says, "Why are the feet of the Africans so wide?" He says, "A very, very good question." Because they live in places where there's a lot of swamp. This must be in Central Africa, jungle. So Rashi brings two interpretations there. Either their feet are very wide and broad, and this would give them a better footing, and they won't sink. Or he says, because they live like that in these places, they didn't wear shoes. And because not wearing shoes, so the feet would spread out more. Omalei shelos harbe yeshli lishul. Now the person said to Hillel, "I have many questions. Umishori ani shem atichais, but I'm afraid that you'll lose your temper." Nisatei v'yoshel lefonav. He went and he sat before him and he said, "Kol shelos yeshlo chalishul shal. All of the questions which you want to ask, go ahead." Omalei, he said to him, "Atohu Hillel shokeri neischo nosi Yisrael, nisi Yisrael. Are you the great Hillel that they say you are the nosi, the prince of Israel?" The head of the Sanhedrin, Amalehain, he said, "Yes." Amalei imatol hu layirva kemeischa b'Yisrael. He says, "Let there not be more of you in Israel." Amalei b'nimi b'nema amalo. Why did you say this? He said, "Nimnei shavareti al yotcho dalid meyazuz, because you caused me to lose 400 zuz." Amalei havi zohe beruchacho. He says, "No, you must be careful with the way you act." Kedai hu hilo shete over al yode dalem meyazuz vidalem meyazuz behila lo yakpid. It's worthwhile that you should lose 400 zuz and another 400 zuz rather than hilo should be non-forgiving. That was the first case that we brought. Then the Gemara brings another number of cases. Tona rabon, ma'ase v'nochri echod shebol ifnei shamay. There was a non-Jew who came to Shammai. Omale kama Torahs yesh lachem. How many Torahs do you have? Omale shtayim. He says, "We have two." Shammai said, "Torah shebiksav and Torah shebalpeh, the written law and the oral law." Omale shebiksav ani ma'amincho, shebalpeh eini ma'amincho. He said, "The written law I believe in. The oral law I do not believe in." Girani amanashi talamdeini Torah shebiksav. Convert me on the condition that you'll only teach me the Torah shebiksav, and that's all that I will do. Goraboy shouted at him, Vayitziv nezifar, and he chased him out because first of all it's a chutzpah. Ger comes and he's making conditions with us how he should become a Jew. See, he's telling us what what we should teach him and what we shouldn't teach him. Secondly, this is the halacha. It's brought that if a person comes and he wants to be Megayer, he has to be Makabalu, he has to accept the entire Torah. If he says that I accept the entire Torah, chutz midomer echot, except one mitzvah, not kosher ger, you're not allowed to be Megayer. And he's not a kosher ger. Now here was someone that he's going to say, I'm not going to accept the entire oral law, which is the basis for all of the mitzvahs. So Shammai drove him out. He went then, Bolifnei Hillel. He went to Hillel and told Hillel the same story. So Hillel Sikiyaroi, so Hillel says, yes, I'll be Megayer you. Come at this and this time and we'll learn together. Yuma Kama, Omalei Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. First time he came, so he said, he taught him Aleph Beis. This is Aleph, this is Beis, this is Gimel, this is Dalet, and so forth. The Mocher, when he came the next day for another lesson, Apechle, he turned everything around. That on the Tof, he told him that's the Aleph, and the Sheen, he told him is the Beis, just turned everything around. Omalei, so the Ger said, Voha Esmol Lo Omateli Hochi. But yesterday you didn't tell me this. Yesterday you said just the opposite. Omalei Lav Olai Didiko Samachto. How do you know? How do you know which is right now? Today I told, the first day I told you the Aleph is the Aleph and the Beis is the Beis and so forth. The second day I told you that the Tof is, and the Tof is the Tof and the Sheen is the Sheen. The second day I told you the Tof is the Aleph and the Sheen is the Beis. Now you're all confused. Now you're telling me that the second way is wrong and the first way is right. How do you know the first way is right? Maybe the first way is wrong and the second way is right. So how do you know? So the answer is because you're trusting in me. Because since the first day I told you the Aleph is the Aleph and the Beis is the Beis and the Sheen is a Sheen and the Tof is a Tof, you are trusting me. Well then trust in me also. Trust in me also that both the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebalpeh are both from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you will not, then you do not even know which one is the Aleph and which one is the Beis. And the Ger sat and thought for a minute and he says, you're right. You're right. The end is, he learned the entire, he accepted the entire Torah. Shuv Maisa Benochri Echot, another story with a non-Jew. Shebolif Nei Shammai. Excuse me, I think we better close those windows back there because these insects are coming in. Shuv Maisa Benochri Echot, another case where a non-Jew came to Shammai. Omalei Giyarani, he said, convert me. Al menas shetlamdeni kol ha'teira kula kishani emer al regel achas. On condition that you will convert me and teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. So Shammai is not a man of many words. He took his amas abinyan. Shammai was a builder. So he used to have a measuring rod. It was called an amas abinyan, which was the length of an amma. An amma is approximately, about a half a meter. And this was the length of an amma. And this was used to measure how much bricks or cement or so forth they would need. So he took his stick, shibiyodai, and he drove him out. Doch, will be amas abinyan shibiyodai. Balif nei Hillel, he came to Hillel, Geyaro. So he told Hillel the same story. Hillel said, all right, I'll be Megayer you. I stand on one foot now. You want me to teach you the entire Torah? He said, Olech Sagi, Sani, Lechavrech Leisavid. What is hated to your fellow man, do not do. Zuhi Kolateira Kula. This is the entire Torah. Idoch Perusha. The rest is just the interpretation and the elaboration of this. Zil Gemor, go study it now. Shuv Maisa ben Ochri Achor, another case with a non-Jew, Sha'eva Achuri Beis HaMikdash, he was passing by the Beis HaMikdash, Shoma Kol Sefer, and he heard the call of a Sefer of a teacher who was teaching the children. Sha'eimer Ve'ela Abagodim Asher Yasu, these are the garments that you shall make for the Kohen Gadol, the Cheshen and the Ephod, the breastplate and the robe. And he heard the Malamed, the teacher, explaining this to the children, and he thought, such magnificent clothing, the breastplate is full of 12 precious jewels and all of the clothing. So he said, halol lami, who gets these beautiful clothing? He asked someone. Omru lai, so they told him, l'kain gadol, the high priest. So he decided, Omar Eise Noche Biatzma, he decided, Eilech Vesgaya Bishfil Shiesamuni Kain Gadol. Let me go and be Magaya in order that they should make me a Kain Gadol, a high priest, and then I will wear these magnificent clothing. Bolif Nesh Shamai, Omale Gaya, Eini Almanash Shitasamin, Meni Kain Gadol, came to Shamai, and he said, convert me on the condition that I will become a Kain Gadol. Dafe Bama Sabinin Shibiyote, he took his measuring rod, and he drove him out. Because, firstly, again, we don't accept conditions. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah and made us into his nations, we didn't lay down conditions. So it's the same thing. Secondly, you cannot become a Kohen Gadol unless you're a Kohen. You can't be a Kohen unless you're born into the family of Aaron. So therefore, again, could never be a Kohen. Now he went to Hillel. Hillel was Megayah. Omalein, he said, Klum Mamidin Melech Elamish Yedea Taksiche Malchus. Now he says, now you want to become a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol was like a king. You don't just walk in and become a king. First you have to learn all about the royalty and what is required from you. Leich lomo taksis emalchus, go study everything before you become the Kohen Gadol. Holach v'kora. So he went, and he went to Cheder, he went to Yeshiva, and he started to study. One day he comes to the Pasuk, v'hazor ha'kora v'yumos, that anyone who's a stranger to the house of Aaron, if he comes even near the sanctuary, where he's not supposed to step, Hashem will put him to death. Amalei mikraze al minemar. So he asked, who is this posuk said on? Amalei afil al David melech Yisrael. He said, this posuk is even for King David. Because King David was a zor, he was a stranger when it came to the Beis HaMikdosh, because he was not from the house of Aaron. Nosa yise ger kavuchem bevatzmai. So this ger now made a kavuchemer. Ma yisrael shenikru bonim lamokam imitech avay shavim kore lehem b'ni b'rchei Yisrael k'siv alem azoha kore v'yumas. If by Klal Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved more than all of the nations in the world, and because of that he calls them b'ni b'cheiri, my sons, my first born, and still someone who's not from the house of Aaron, can he come close? Ger hakal, so someone who's coming from another nation, shebob b'maklei u'batamilei, that comes from far with his stick and his bag, al achas kama v'kama. So how much more so he cannot come close to walk in places in the Beis HaMikdash where one is not allowed to go. So therefore, he understood that he could never be a Kohen Gadol. So bolif nei shamay omle klum roy ani liyos Kohen Gadol. So he went to Shammai and he says, I cannot be a Kohen Gadol. And he went to Hillel. And he said, Omalei, and he said to Hillel, al shikraftani tachas kamfi ashkino. The humility and the forgiving temperament of Hillel, this should be a great brocha for you, he told Hillel, because it was this that brought me to under the Kanfei Ashchina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leyomim nizdav gush leisht in the mokom echod. It was later on that these three people happened to come together in one place. And they said, Kaptenusai shel shamai biksho le Torah numina olam. It was the strictness and the non-forgiving temperament of Shammai that desired to chase us out of the world. In Vesonusei shel Hillel, and it was the humility and the forgiving temperament of Hillel, Kiravnu tachas kanfi Ashkina, which brought us under the wings of the Shkina, which brought us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, the Maral brings, why does the Gemara mention here a few times that Hillel took his measuring rod and drove him out? Shammai took his measuring rod and drove him out. What is this relevant? Now he says it's very relevant because Shammai was a builder. He says when you're a builder, you have to be very dimension conscious. If you're not, you're not going to have a very good building. Everything has to be by the inch. If your foundation is a few centimeters off, you can have a major problem. And he says, and this was Hillel's nature. This was Shammai's nature. And in Torah, there's certainly a great area for this, perfection. See? Everything has to be to the inch and to the centimeter. And this is why it brings the illustration that he took his measuring rod and he drove him out. But there's a time for another hanhog also. But we got to put away the measuring rod, see, and overlook the centimeters and be flexible. A little more, a little less. And this is what Hillel was capable of doing. Now Tosfos has the kasha. Tosfos in Masechta Yevamos has a very strong kasha on this Gemara. He brings in Masechta Yevamos. It's actually the Kiveger. It's Mitzayim. The Kiveger takes note of the kashi here in the margin. The Gemara says, in Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis in Yevamos, he says, we are not mekabel geirim. We do not accept geirim in the times when it's a heyday, it's a boom for Klal Yisrael. For example, in the times of Dovra Melech, see, in the times of Shlema Melech, it says ein mekablim geirim. You do not accept geirim. Why? Because they come shalei lishma. They're not coming. They're not coming. L'shem Shemaim, they don't want to be Megayer because of a love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They see that the Jew is on top of the world, so therefore they want that also. The fact is, it's brought, and this is also in Masechta Yevamos, Ger HaBol Isgayer, that a Ger that comes to be Megayer, firstly it states Ger HaBol, he comes. You're not allowed to go look for converts or to persuade them to come. They have to come on their own. They have to be self-motivated. But even when they come, we have to tell them the way it is. See, not the way it's not, but the way it is. And we say, Bini, my son, why do you want to become Jewish? Do you not know what the lot of a Jew is in this world? Don't you know, this is all the Loshon, the words of the Gemara in Yevamos, don't you know that the Jew in this world is chased from one Medina to the other, from one land to the other, and he suffers pogroms, and he suffers anti-Semitism, and he suffers Holocausts, and he suffers everything like that. So why do you want to become a Jew? See, this is what we have to tell them. And if they say, Afal Pi Kein, I still want to, then you cannot push them away, but you have to be medir lehem mikses chamureis or mikses kaleis. You have to tell them some of the more stringent mitzvahs and some of the lesser, the easier mitzvahs. You have to give them a realistic picture so they know exactly what they're getting into. And then you tell them that even though in this world our lot is not always so appetizing. You should know that the next world, which is actually maybe it's coming from these insects are coming from the passage, the windows in the passage. Maybe close the doors or close the windows in the passage. Then we tell them that even though our lot is not so great in this world, but the Olam Haba, the next world, which is one little bit of it, is greater than all of this creation, that's set aside for the righteous of Israel, and therefore there's also a good side to it also. But they have to know that in our Torah Nigna Lebi Yisurin, that you don't come to this just by walking into it. We were in Mitzrayim in Egypt 400 years before we were able to come and receive Torah. That's why it states that you do not accept gerim when it's a real heyday, a boom for Klal Yisrael, because then they're not coming idealistically. They're coming because why shouldn't I be part of Israel when everything is going so good? But to be a ger, you have to be able to be part of Israel for the good and the bad. So therefore the Gemara also says that you do not accept the ger if they come shelei lishma, if they come and they are not willing unequivocally to accept the entire Torah and without any ulterior motives. So Tosfos asks a kasha in this Gemara. He says, we see totally to the contrary from Hillel. Shammai was right. These people, they were coming. They were not coming to accept the Torah unequivocally. They were coming with all types of conditions. They weren't coming to accept the entire Torah. One said, I'll accept only the written law. So Shammai was right. So what is the Gemara bringing this and praising Hillel for? So Tosfos answers. And here you got a case where one said he wants to be Magaya in order that he can become the Kohen Gadol, because they have such magnificent clothing. So Tosfos says, "Batuach hoye Hillel the sefer lases l'shem shemayim." Hillel saw in his wisdom that this person that was motivated to become a ger, he saw the beginnings were there. And he said, give me time with him and I'll make him into a totally kosher ger, where he accepts all of the Torah l'shem shemayim. I just need time to teach him. He brings another such case like that also. There was a Talmud, and he had met a very, very wealthy woman. She was very, very wealthy. And she became enormously impressed with his yirah shemayim, with his fear of Hashem. So impressed that she gave up all her wealth and she came to Rebbe and she said that she wants to be Magayer because she wants to marry him. Now, under such circumstances, you wouldn't be able to accept that either. But, some say it was a Bchia, the Gemara Manoches, but he did accept her because also he saw in her that he would be able to make 100% Geyoris out of her. So here we see, firstly, the great attribute of Hillel's, and this is why Hillel is saying that you should be from the Talmidim of Aaron HaKohen. But again, secondly, we see that in order to be Makarvan the Torah, to bring people to Torah, he used great chokhmah, great wisdom. Someone said, look, I want to come to Torah, but I don't want to do this mitzvah. He didn't say, what do you mean? You want to be a Jew? You got to do all the mitzvahs. And he says, all right. So you won't do this mitzvah. Or someone comes and says, I want to be a Jew, but I only want to learn enough that I can stand on one foot, but I want to learn more. She says, all right, good. And then he knew over time he would slowly bring him entirely Tachas Kanfei HaShechina. This is what we see from Hillel. And Hillel was Derish V'Kayim. He wasn't only Darshanin, he lived. And he was from the Talmidim of Aaron HaKohen. This is what Aaron did. There's actually a Gemara, Masech the Brochis, that the Gemara brings in Brochis, Daf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, Magala Bapuma Dabaya. Abaya used to always say, Leilam ye odem orum bi yire. A person, when it comes to Yire Shemaim, he has to be cunning. Now this, Rabbi Cheskel Sano, the late Chevron or Rosh Yeshiva, writes that this was from the great pillars which Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zichrein Avrocha used to teach. When it comes to Yire Shemaim, Leilam ye odam orum beyira. He has to be very cunning. And he brings a posuk from Mishlei. The posuk from Mishlei in Tesvov. Posuk Aleph. Manerach Yoshiv Chema Udvar Etzev Yale Of. If someone becomes very angry at you, what is the tendency? Start shouting at you, the tendency is you shout back. Shlomo Melech said just the opposite. You're not using your head, you have to be cunning. If someone becomes very angry at you and starts to shout, you answer him softly. And if you answer him softly, you will see his anger will dissipate. His anger will disappear. To the contrary, Advar Etzev, if you answer him by shouting back at him, Yalla off, he will become even more angrier. Now, what is Shlomo HaMelech teaching us? He's teaching us that we have to use Chochmah, we have to use wisdom, we have to be cunning. When it comes to Yiras Hashem, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone starts to insult you or shout at you or this or that, and you become very upset because you feel that it's totally unjustified, so what do? You start hitting back. Well, then is all you're going to have is a great, great battle. On the other hand, if you answer him back very quietly and softly, then all of a sudden, all the tempers will reduce. If you answer him with an anger, then the tempers and the heat will increase. This is just an example. In the Gemara, Rashi says, what does it mean, Orum B'Yira? He says, Laharim b'chol mine onma. You have to use all types of cunningness. Lira is bere when it comes to fear Hashem. Now this refers even to oneself, because you've got to outsmart the Yetzer Hara. A person has to know himself and know his Yetzer, and he's got to learn to outsmart him. And this has to do with other people, when he's dealing with other people. And therefore, it says Magal Bapuma. Magal Bapuma doesn't mean that Abaya said this or he taught this. It says that he always would say this. This is what Abai would always say. Leilam ye odem orem biyira, man erach meishiv chem amar b'shiha. Then he says, umar b'sholem im echov, v'im krevov, v'im kol odem. And he should go out of his way to make peace, to be on very, very good terms with his brothers, with his relatives, and with everyone. V'afili im noch ribishuk, and even with the non-Jew in the marketplace. In order that he should be beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he should be beloved here also, and people will respect him. In other words, if a person wants, first of all, it's a great mitzvah to live b'sholem. You want to live b'shalom, so you have to go out of your way to be good to your brothers, to be good to your relatives, to be good to everyone, and even to the nochri shebishuk, the non-Jew in the marketplace. And then you will live b'shalom. You want to influence people to do good, you can't just go and tell them what to do. You can't just go and give them lectures. You can't just go and give them shiurim. You can't just go and instruct them. This is what Abai is saying. No, it won't work. What you have to do is be a person that is very friendly and kind to your brothers and to your relatives and to people and to the Nochi Shebishuk. Then they will have great respect for you, and then Dvorav Mekubalim, and then they will listen to you. Omer Olam Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Now Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the Gadol HaDor. He was the leader of the generation in that time of the Mishnah. Shlegdima Odom Shalom Me'elam Afilu Nochi Shebishuk. They said on him, there was no one that ever greeted him first. Yechem and Zakkai always greeted the other one first. And even Nochrim Shebishuk, even the non-Jew in the marketplace. Now, once a person is so outgoing and friendly and binds with the people like that, then if he will tell them something, they will listen. Rabbi Cheskel Shadda that I just mentioned, he has a pirush on the Igeres HaGro. The Gro wrote a letter to his wife and to his mother when he was leaving. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then he was going to settle there and then come back. And excuse me, he wanted to go settle there and then bring them to Eretz Yisrael. The trip, however, was aborted, but meanwhile he wrote this letter to them, which is full of instruction for them. So he brings, the Gros says, he's telling his family, his daughters, and his sons-in-laws, grandchildren, they should learn Musa. Should set aside time to learn from the Sifrei Ayira, those forum that deal with Yiras Hashem. So he says, Yeshli Mishle im Loshen Ashkenaz. So he tells them, I have a Sefer Mishle in my library that I'm leaving behind, which has a Loshen Ashkenaz, that has a Yiddish translation. Laman Hashem Shikur Bechol Yem. You should read from it every day. This is the best of all the Sifrei Musa, the Sefer Mishle from Shlema HaMelech. Then he says, Keheles, you should read all of the time, because that gives you the proper perspective of this world in regards to the other. But then he says, but the purpose, he says, Chas v'Shalom, is not just the reading. The purpose is you have to absorb what you're reading. If you just read and you don't absorb, so then he says it's useless. Also, he said, the Od b'shvil shi'yitziyosim b'lei havona bein abriyas kizem abedes akol. And he says, another thing is that those people that learn Musa, but they go amongst people and they do not know how to act amongst people, then they lose everything. It's as if it's all lost. V'hamoshul hazereya b'lei harisho. It's like planting without tilling the soil first. Shiachtev aruach. What happens to the seeds? The wind blows away the seeds. V'yasbia eifes, and the birds will come and eat the seeds. V'hu bishvil shein yochol lachsem atzme v'ligdor. And this is because they cannot hold themselves back and fence themselves in. V'hu kizareya b'leigeder. This is like someone who plants seeds but doesn't put a fence around it. Z'eichlin achazerim v'yemosun. So then the chazerim, pigs will come in and they'll eat up all the seeds. What is he talking about? So Becheskel Sana says, this is what he's referring to. He says, one of the great principles of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was, is that you have to have chokhmah, he would call it chokhmah sa'elam, chokhmah b'nei odom, mili di alma. You have to know how to talk with people. You have to know how to deal with people. You have to be able to interact with people. There were many people that would learn Torah and they would learn Mussar. And now they want to go out and be Makariv. And they want to go out and be influence people. But they don't know how to talk to people. And they don't know how to interact with people. And they're not wise in the ways of the world. So he says, it's all gone. It's finished. He says, this is what the Gaon is writing here. He says, when you learn Mussar from the Sifrei Ayira, firstly, you have to absorb it, not just read it. But secondly, he says, when you Yitziosa Balei Havona Bein Abriyas, if you take this out to the world and you don't understand the world, then Ma'avedes Hakol, you've lost everything. And the moshul and the illustration is this, someone who plants, but it doesn't till the soil. If you want to influence people, it's like putting seed in the soil. If you put seed in the soil, but the soil's not prepared for it, so what happens? Shiachte varuach, the wind will come and blow away the seed. The asbia efes, so the birds will come and eat up the seeds. The same thing, I'll go tell that person. Go tell him. You go tell him, your words are falling on hard soil. And it's worse than if you would have not said anything. Because it's like a farmer that takes his expensive seed and he puts it on the ground without preparing the soil properly. So now, not only he didn't plant, but he lost all his seed. Here you go tell him. So what do? Not only you didn't influence him because you didn't prepare him beforehand, but you lost all your seed because now he's not interested in talking to you anymore. And then he says, "V'hu bishfil shein yochel lach se'matzme v'ligdor." He says, you got these people that they learn, and now they want to go out and influence. And he says they're not capable of keeping their mouths closed when they should be kept closed. The Gemara says that Kishem Shemitzvah Lema Dover Shesefa Lishma Kein Mitzvah Shalei Lema Dover Sheena Sefa Lishma. That just like it's a mitzvah to tell something to someone that he will listen to, it's a mitzvah to keep your mouth closed and not to tell people things that they won't listen to. The hook is Zerea Belegeder. It's the same as someone who plants and he doesn't put a fence around it. So what will happen? Eichlin achazerim yamosum. So all of the chazerim will come and eat up all the seed. So he says, this is what the Gro is saying here. He says, this was from the great principles of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he taught his Talmidim. At that time, the world was going through very difficult times. Upheavals, revolutions, pogroms, cultural upheavals, and so forth. And people in Jewish kehillahs were being uprooted and moved from one place to the other, so there was assimilation and so forth and so on. So the idea was to go out and influence people. Be makarim l'Torah. She used to say you have to know how to be makarim l'Torah. There was a story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that's told that he went to Germany to be makarim people l'Torah. He went to a German family and didn't keep Shabbos. So he told them. Didn't tell them keep Shabbos. He says, after discussing the bonds of Shabbos with them, he said, keep Shabbos for 1 hour. 1 hour. Every Shabbos, keep Shabbos for 1 hour. See, 1 hour, don't do any malocha. That's what he told them. This is what Hillel told them. You want to become a Jew, but you don't want to accept all of those mitzvahs. All right, you'll become a Jew with one mitzvah. Because he saw that if you go with chokhmah, and you go with wisdom, and you orum, see, and you go with cunningness, slowly you will, batuach hayo hillel, like Tosfos says. Hillel knew, give me time with this person, I'll make a righteous person out of him. But first we have to prepare the soil. So when I speak to him, it will not be like I'm putting seeds on hard soil that will end up where the birds will eat them. And this was the great principle that he wrote. And he says, the Gra brings, Ma'avedes Hakol, you can destroy everything with this. How many people have been driven away from Yiddishkeit, have been driven away from Klal Yisrael, because you've got people, he says, that can't keep their mouths closed. Because they come and they shout at the people, or they say you've got to do this and you've got to do this, and they give them so much to do where it's impossible. Like the Gemara says, Yatriche kuli hai, if you're going to be too difficult on him, then he leaves it and walks away. Walks away. So that was Magala Bapuma Dabaya. Olam, you want people to accept things from you, first you got to prepare the soil. And how do you prepare the soil? So on that, Abaya said, he said that you prepare the soil by Mar B'Sholom Im Echov, by ways of peace with your brothers, Im Kevav, and with all of your families, Im Kol Odom, and with everyone, Mafilim Nochi Shebishuk, and even the non-Jew in the marketplace. Then you will be all the Malav and Echman, and this is something that doesn't take a day. See, he's talking here on a lifelong process. Then you will be Ohav Lamalav and Echmad Lamatav Yimakubal Alabriyos. Then the person will be very, very well respected because they see that he's really an Ehiv Sholem, he's really binding the people together. And then Yadvorim Makubal Alabriyos, they will listen to him. Like the people listened to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, because they saw that Afilo Nochi Shebeshuk, even a non-Jew in the marketplace, he would greet him before that person had a chance to greet Rabbi Yechanan. So these were the midos of the Amoraim, and these were in particular the midos of Hillel, where Hillel was prepared even the Ben Halochas, like Tosfos says. He was ready, he wasn't with Shammai, was with the measuring stick. He wasn't prepared to bend. Hillel was prepared to bend Halochas. He says, give me time with him, and I'll come to the final objective quicker than you will. You might never come to the objective, see? And on that, Hillel said, he learned that from Aaron. Because Aaron would go even to Arosho, and he would give him shalom. Or he would go to people that were quarreling, and he would tell them a whole pack of lies, just to bring them back together. And this was the Aaron who was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, because the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to bring Klal Yisrael all together in one place and bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what we can learn from these great principles.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.